Lord God, I just pray that you'd be with Peter this morning, that you would help him as he shares with us this morning. You would speak through him. Lord, you would use his voice. You would use his lips. Lord, you would use them to teach us. You'd use them to challenge us. We do really ask that you would help him this morning to have a clear mind, Lord. We know that Peter must have things on his mind this morning, worrying about Vary, Lord. And I just really ask that you would help him to be able to really focus this morning. Pray this in your name, Lord God. Amen. Thanks, Peter.
Am I good in the mic? Okay. Good morning, everybody. It's hard to believe it's nearly 2 years since we were here. Quite remarkable. But just want to begin by thanking you all for your support and for your prayers. We greatly appreciate it. And apologies this morning if I'm slightly all over the place, but I'm sure you understand. Whenever you hear the word submission, how does it make you feel? Is it negative? Is it positive? Submission. The dictionary definition of submission is the action of accepting and yielding to either a superior force or to the will or authority of another person. The action of accepting and yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another person. When I was a small boy, I used to love watching the wrestling on TV. I don't know if you remember the British wrestling. We had Big Daddy and Giant Haystacks, and it was great fun on a Saturday morning. And one of the ways in which you can win in wrestling is through submission, where you put the person into such a position that they can't win, and they submit to you. I just have a short illustration. I wonder if Johnny can come up and if Freddie can come up. Now, I would pay money to watch this, but we'll keep it safe if you can come up here. And Johnny, if you can just kneel down like this, just at the front and face out to everybody. And if Freddie, if you can put him in a headlock and be gentle. In this position, Freddie is in a position of strength. And Johnny is in the position of weakness. And in a wrestling match, Johnny has very little option but to submit to Freddy. And I wonder for how many of us is submission to God is like wrestling, fighting against him until you're in a position that you can do nothing else. Keep that wrestling image in your mind and we'll come back to it. Thanks, guys. If you got your Bibles and we turn to Psalm 2. Psalm 2. It's just after the book of Job, if you're trying to find it. Psalm 2. And I'm reading from the ESV Bible. Why do the nations rage, and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrifying them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree the Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. In Psalm 2, we have what's known as a royal psalm, and many scholars think that it was used at the coronation of a new king. And there are four different speakers throughout the psalm, each with their own view. Firstly, we have the kings and the rulers who speak. The psalmist introduces the psalm by asking why the nations are in rebellion. They are a vassal kingdoms, which means that they are part of an empire and they are subordinate in position. But the psalmist makes clear that it is not just against the king that they are rebelling against, it is against God. Interestingly, the Hebrew for anointed means Messiah, and the Greek means Christ. In verse 3, the rulers and the kings speak and say, "We don't want God or his king to reign over us. We want to be free from God's reign." When Peter and John were arrested in the book of Acts because they were preaching Christ, they quote this psalm and they say, "For in truth, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, together with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, assembled together in this city against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed." So we can see that the New Testament authors saw fulfillment of these words in Jesus. So why do the nations and their leaders rebel against God and against Jesus? Why do they want to be free from their reign? And we can bring it to a personal level and ask about you and I. Are we in rebellion against God and against Jesus? Do we want to be free from their reign? How you answer those questions has implications of how you live your life. And then secondly, we have Yahweh who responds in verses 4 to 6. And his response is one of mockery and of anger. "Don't ye know who I am?" The Hebrew in verse 6 is emphatic. I have set my king on Zion. It is me, Almighty God, who has appointed the king, and you dare rebel against him. There is an anger from God at the rejection of his king, of his Messiah. There is anger at the rejection of Jesus. And then into verses 7 and 9, we have the Anointed One himself speaks. Yahweh said to him, "You are my son, and today I have begotten you. God will take the heir of David as a son." The Davidic king was to have a special relationship with Yahweh. We know that the Davidic kingdom did not reach to the ends of the earth, but its fulfillment is found in Jesus. Verse 7 is quoted in a number of places in the New Testament where they declare Jesus as the Son of God. He is the messianic heir of David. Often we see Jesus only as Savior and forget that he is also ruler. He is King. In verse 8, we see that his kingdom will be to the ends of the earth. And in verse 9, we see that Jesus will carry out judgment on those who are in rebellion to his kingship. The psalmist then speaks again to end the psalm in verses 10 to 12. He gives advice to the kings and to the rulers. "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled." There's a textual issue in verse 12 which makes it plausible that verse 12 is talking about either Yahweh or the Son. And some translations go for the Son, like the ESV, the King James, NIV, the NASB, and some go for Yahweh, like the RSV and NRSV. Although most scholars go for Son, well, they acknowledge the difficulty here in this text. If you're interested in the issues, come talk to me and I can explain them. But we find the fulfillment of this verse 12 in Revelation chapter 6. In Revelation chapter 6 and verse 15 to 17, it says, "Then the kings of the earth, and the great ones, and the generals, and the rich, and the powerful, and everyone, slave and free, hide themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" As we saw earlier, we often see Jesus only as Savior, but there is a day coming when the wrath of the Lamb will be poured out. He is prophet, he is priest, and he is king. The psalmist reminds the rulers and the kings in Psalm 2 that just like in Revelation, they will not be able to stand. We too should heed the warning that we, in our sin, cannot stand. Then the psalm takes a turn in the last line. "How blessed are those who take refuge in him." Can Freddie and Johnny come back out again? And if you just resume the exact same position, unfortunately for Johnny. So in the wrestling scenario, Freddie was in the position of strength, Johnny was in the position of weakness, and Johnny had to submit. There was no way for him to win. But what if we change the scenario? What if instead in the wrestling ring, these guys are in open water, and Freddie's a lifeguard, and Johnny's drowning? How does submission look in that context? Freddie's still in a position of strength. Johnny's still in a position of weakness. But the only way for Johnny to be saved is to submit to Freddie. It's a very different way of looking at submission than in the wrestling ring. What is the definition of submission? The action of accepting and yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another person. The person drowning, if he wants to be saved, must accept and yield to the lifeguard. If he wrestles against him, he will perish. Thanks, guys. Submission to God. Serving Yahweh, giving homage to Jesus, can often be seen to be wrestling against him, like in the first scenario. Instead, it is a refuge. It is a place of salvation. It is a place of shalom. The yielding to the will and to the authority of God is a place of refuge. Don't be like the rulers and the kings of Psalm 2. Stop rebelling against God and his Messiah, Jesus Christ. It is Almighty God who has set Jesus as king over his kingdom. Today, I don't know where you are at in your life, but maybe you need to stop wrestling, but be like the swimmer drowning, and release yourself into the loving arms and find refuge there. Psalm 34 puts it like this: "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." Amen.